This is the story of the absent-minded professor. Once upon a time, there was... Would you stop? Stop the music. I'm sorry. See, that's the wrong way to begin this story, that once upon a time. Because this story happened, well, just today. So this isn't a once upon a time story about a fairy prince or a fiery dragon, but it's a story about a professor, an absent-minded professor, and an old automobile that flies. Maybe while we've stopped, maybe I better explain absent-minded. See, I don't mean that he was absent from his mind like when you're absent from school. No, his mind was so good, really, so quick and imaginative and inventive, that he liked to be present in his mind. He was an inventor, and he was so wrapped up in his weird and wonderful inventions that he would completely forget to think about ordinary things that most other people thought about, like getting married, for instance. Already he had forgotten three different times. And Betsy, the girl he kept forgetting to marry, was so beautiful and so patient, and he loved her very much. It was just that when the wheels began to turn and his mind began to work, well, Betsy and the world, everything just faded away. The professor was a chemistry teacher in a little cottage in a little town not far away. Most of the students liked being in the professor's classes. You never knew what was going to happen in the beginning, only in the end. And in the end, there was usually an explosion of some sort. Most of the professor's inventions came off like this. Let's see now, where were we? I guess I'm getting a little absent-minded myself. Oh, yes. We're in this peaceful little college town where nothing much of note ever happened, except band practice. And they're practicing, by the way, to play at the professor's wedding. They got a lot of practice. This is the professor's wedding day. This is the fourth time the professor has forgotten to come to his own wedding.
This rice is getting shabby.
I think the professor is plain stupid. What did he ever invent anyway?
He's a dolt.
She's a dear.
And poor Betsy, alone in her room. And the professor in his workshop at home, everything forgotten but his newest invention, his active mind racing madly. This was one of the biggest explosions the professor ever had, because this was one of the biggest inventions he had ever had. In the stillness following the explosion, Charlie was the first to speak.
Arf!
Charlie is the professor's dog. Charlie?
Arf!
I believe I've got something. I don't know what, but look. And Charlie looked.
Yoo-hoo!
Everything I mixed in that pot has come out in the shape of a rubber ball, and it's bouncing.
Arf!
Charlie, with each bounce, it goes higher. It's sort of like flying rubber. I think I'll call it flubber. Fetch her, Charlie. Fetch when it hits again. Charlie, come down. Down, Charlie. Well, don't drop the ball, Charlie. That's what keeps you up there. Wait, I'll get a ladder. Stay still, Charlie, for heaven's sakes. He's practically flying. Well, the professor got Charlie down. He was so excited, he didn't know what to do. The professor, I mean. Charlie was scared. With this invention, Charlie, we can fly. I must go tell Betsy. Come on. Yay! Yelled the professor, and Charlie jumped. Suppose I put this ball under the hood of my Model T car. I'll bet you that it would make it go up in the air. Yes, that's what I'll do. Goes in here, so... Now, cried the professor excitedly. And when I step on this, that should do it. It does it. Charlie, we're rising. We're rising higher. Higher. We're flying. Fasten your seatbelt, Charlie. We're flying over to Betsy's. And won't she be surprised? Well, they landed in Betsy's backyard. Come out, come out, wherever you are, cried the professor. I have great news for you. And I have great news for you, sobbed Betsy. You have missed your wedding for the last time. Now go away. I never want to see you again. My goodness, cried the professor. I've done it again. The minute before he'd been so elated, and now he was so miserable. Hop in, Charlie, he said. We'll fly home the long way. And they did, too. High over the sleeping town, around the church steeple, several times. And then, because the professor was feeling really reckless, straight at the moon. The wind was blowing through Charlie's whiskers, and as they drew nearer, he barked and barked at the man in the moon. Still unhappy and now quite cold, the professor headed his Model T back home. He made such a beautiful, quiet landing in his own backyard that he didn't even wake up Charlie. I'm probably the only soul awake in the entire town, thought the professor, and I'm not going to bed either until I can figure in my mind some way to win back Betsy, my beloved. But the professor was wrong. There was another person awake in the town, wide awake, Mr. Hawks. Mean Mr. Hawks. Money mad Mr. Hawks. As a matter of fact, miserly Mr. Hawks. Mr. Hawks's mind, like the professor's, was very active, but very crooked, and very filled with schemes to make more money. Mr. Hawks was sitting now in his window, visibly shaken. He had been counting his money. He loved to count his money, especially on bright moonlight nights. All that gold gleaming in the moonlight made him almost drool with pleasure. Well, he was counting and breathing hard, and he had looked up at the moon and he had seen... He could hardly believe his eyes, but seeing is believing, he believed. And now he was sitting scheming in his crooked little mind how to get his hands on that invention. He knew that it meant money, more money, and so he schemed more crooked schemes. While Mr. Hawks was scheming against the professor was scheming in his mind a way to win his beloved Betsy. And his beloved Betsy was sobbing herself to sleep. Charlie was asleep. The professor invented a plan. He would make himself a hero in beloved Betsy's eyes. He would call Washington, D.C. He would offer his great invention to the government. The Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. They all would be fighting over his secret. He would be known as the Flubber King. Flubber would make anything fly. Our enemies better just watch out. He called Washington. They promised to send a man from the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force. To test his car the first thing in the morning, they appreciated his patriotism. The professor's mind had stood him in good stead. And now he slept. Like Charlie. Across town, Mr. Hawks's crooked little mind had come up with a nice crooked little plan. He knew where there was a car exactly like the professor's old Model T. He would go over to the professor's house and right now, before it grew light, and kidnap the car, leaving the substitute car in its place. Mr. Hawks was so pleased with himself that he patted himself on the back. And poor beloved Betsy sobbed in her sleep. The next morning, the professor was up bright and early. The whole town was up bright and early. For word had spread about the official Washington visit and the professor's car that could fly. There was no school. All the students and most of the townspeople were gathered at the football field where the great test was to take place. The band was there, of course, their instruments at the ready. Because the minute the car took to the air, they were going to break into, for he's a jolly good fellow. Mr. Hawks was there. He had come to gloat, naturally. Even beloved Betsy was there, hiding herself in the crowd. If it does happen, if it only does happen, she prayed, looking at her bare finger where a wedding ring should rest. And the Army. And the Navy. And the Air Force. Were there. And the newspapers, and photographers. And, of course, the professor, his mind seething with excitement. And Charlie. And the car. The focus of all eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, we are now going to fly, said the professor simply. The crowd cheered. Then he opened the door of his flying machine. Gentlemen, get in. The Army got in. The Navy got in. The Air Force got in. Charlie and the professor got in. The crowd was hushed.